2 Kings chapter 4 and beginning at verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have in this country to freely meet and have the word of God preached to us. Lord, continue to bless this in our country. Bless our church. Bless us today. We need to hear from heaven. We need your help today. Now, Father, for all this to be accomplished, we need your Holy Spirit anointing upon our pastor as he comes and preaches from the Word of God. Use him today. And Father, if there's one person, just one, and maybe more, in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, God, I pray they'd settle that before they leave this room today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you the cell phone warning. This is it now. Listen carefully. I don't know how important the sermon is, but the warning about the cell phone is very important. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, now you may have to turn it to vibrate or whatever, that's fine. But if your cell phone goes off and we hear it during the service, right underneath your chair, there'll be an opening. It'll pop open and you'll drop into the basement. And the problem is, we don't have a basement. So you think about that for just a moment. And let's make sure they don't go off during the service, all right? Thank you very much. I would appreciate that. What a day in which we live, yes? Yeah. It's Mother's Day today. I want to talk to you about what the Bible calls this great woman of Shunem. Back to verse number 8, the Bible says in our text, 2 Kings chapter 4, says that Elisha, the man of God, would come through this certain area here. And the Bible says a great woman of Shunem, it never gives her proper name. It says this lady saw him as a man of God, and said, you know what, she went to her husband, she said, can we take care of him? Let's make a little chamber up here on the wall by our house and put a bed in there and a candlestick and a table and some things for him, so when he comes through preaching, he'll have a place to lay down and rest. To this day, they call it, when you go to churches, sometimes they'll have a special place to put people, and they call it a prophet's chamber. We have one here in our church. Brother and Mrs. Smith very kindly allow us to use the guest house there at their property. And it's a place set aside for full-time Christian workers. And this lady called the great woman of Shunem. Now, the expression great woman in the Bible meant she was a lady that was very well known. After this kindness to Elisha, he asks her one day, is there something I can do for you? You've been so kind to me. Can I do something for you? And she says, no, I'm fine. Everything's okay. Now imagine that. A woman who said, everything's fine. I don't need anything. And, usually they have an idea of something they would like. I'm not saying selfishness now. Please understand that. But she said, no, I don't need anything. I'm fine. Everything's good. Elisha's servant says, but she doesn't have any children. She'd like to have children, I believe. And Elisha promised her, you'll have a son. And she did. Now, she was not of the young childbearing age when she gave birth, But this child was very special to her. Then the Bible said, where we picked up reading today, in 2 Kings chapter 4, it says that that boy was out with his father in the fields working one day, and something happened. He said, my head, something happened to him. And the father said, take him to his mother. And they rushed that child to the mother, and he lay on her lap that day and died. She got up and took that boy to the prophet's chamber and laid him on the bed of the man of God, closed the door, and asked her husband, can I go see the man of God about this, please? And he says, well, it's not a special day or a feast day. Why today? She said, it'll be well. Everything will be all right. And he gave her one of the servants, and they saddled an animal, and they took off. As she got closer, and the prophet, the man of God, Elisha, saw her coming, he sent his servant, Gehazi, and said, go ask this lady. That's the Shunammite woman. Ask her, is everything okay? Now listen, look at verse number 26. He said, ask her three questions. He said, say, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Everything's okay. Her son had died. Now, we did not read the rest of the text, so let me finish the story for you. She says, my boy is dead. Can you help me, please? Elisha sends his servant, puts his carrying staff over the boy's face, doesn't help. Elisha comes, he raises this boy from the dead and gives him back to his mother. Her faith saw God do an amazing thing. This great woman of Shunem here is an example of not only a great woman, but a great mother. Now, my message this morning will be directed primarily to moms. But believe me, there's enough truth here for every one of us to learn. The importance, ladies and gentlemen, of finding greatness in the sight of God. Too many today want recognition for themselves. The personal recognition issue. And a lot of people today are forsaking roles in their life. Mothers, fathers. They're forsaking the roles of life that are most important for the one that they want in their own personal life. This great woman of Shunem was not only a great woman, she was a great mother. Why? Number one, because she prepared for this event that came up. She did not know she would have a son who would die, the only son she had, and that he would need to be raised from the dead. But when it happened, she knew what to do. She was prepared for this event. Here's what we do today. We live on the crisis side of life. We think that great events, big events like this, someone's passing, a tragedy in life or a difficulty in life is somehow going to bring out the greatness in us. Truth of the matter is, it's not how it works. People have to be prepared for these kind of events, and she was. See, her service and helped to serve the man of God who helped God, who did the work of God, that's all serving others and helping others. So when the time came and the boy dies, she doesn't run around in panic with her hands in the air wondering what to do with her life and how to handle this and what should I do next. She knew exactly what to do. She was prepared for this great event. Her testimony was prepared. Again, she was called the great woman of Shunem. We don't know what her personal private name was, but we know this. She had a good testimony. Everybody knew who this woman was. Her life was such that the people in the city and the area of Shunem, they knew who she was. And it was a good knowledge. It wasn't, well, yeah, I know who that is. No. She was the great woman. And it didn't say a great woman of Shunem. It said she was the great woman. She had such a good testimony where she lived, by how she lived her life, the way that she lived her life. Now, ladies, look at this preacher this morning. Do you understand that if they whisper your name in the halls of Hollywood, they mention your name on the news, they talk about you, and the world thinks you're famous, that does not qualify a good testimony in life? You know, nowadays, isn't it amazing to you people today can become famous for doing absolutely nothing of quality? They could be the worst kind of a person, selfish, self-centered, shallow, egotistical, all consumed with themselves and their lives. They could be immoral. They could be indecent. They could be ungodly. They could live a wicked life and become famous just for doing those very things. It's incredible. I don't follow these kind of people's lives, but as I follow the news, I see this person's name, I go, who's that? And what did they ever do that accomplished or mattered to anything in this world? Oh, nothing. They just happened to, they got drunk one night. They party a lot. And so they're famous for this. And I go, that's it? That's what they're famous for? They're well known for being bad. They're well known for being wicked. They're well known for having a... And then you listen to them talk and they interview them on a news report. They got the personality of a bowling ball. Seriously. They're as shallow as a teardrop. They couldn't hold a decent conversation. And if they couldn't talk about themselves, they would have nothing to talk about. The great woman of Shunem was a woman who was prepared for this great tragedy in her life because her testimony was good. Question this morning, and not just to our moms, to you or anybody else on this planet today. What is your testimony? Your testimony is not what you tell people about you. It's what people say about you in your life. Do you have a good testimony? The Bible says we are spectacles unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. Where our testimony is what we are before others. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a great price. That's something that's very important in life. But not only was her testimony good, her life was right. You don't want to figure it out on the way to the hospital. You don't want to be standing next to the hospital bed watching them work feverishly over a loved one or a child or a spouse and then at that moment say, boy, it's time to get right with God about these things. That's not the time to do it. She was prepared for this event. When they brought that boy home to her and she held him in her arms till that boy died in her arms, she took him to the man of God's place, laid him down, took off and knew exactly what she needed to do. She was ready. Question this morning, are you ready for the things of life? Are you ready for what's coming in life? I'm not saying, you know, we live in fear. Oh, no, what's going to happen next? I'm saying most people today, it doesn't take much to absolutely upset the apple cart of their life, and they panic and run like chickens in a storm because their lives are not right. They're not prepared for things. This lady was great because she was prepared for this event. Her son, listen now, this is her only son. I never have understood that, quite frankly. Someone has 3 or 4 or 5 children or whatever the case may be. Something happens in a tragedy. One of the children dies and people will tell you, well, at least you have the other children. What kind of stupid statement is that? I don't care if you've got 1 or 15 of them. And God bless you if you've got 15 of them. If you've got 1 or 15 children, every child is important to their parents. Yes? And the idea, the concept, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just because it's her only son. This lady was ready in her life for this thing. Are you ready? Do you have the spiritual constitution to understand that things that come to us in the will of God are filtered to the fingers of an almighty God and nothing happens in our life that's by happenstance or chance? She was prepared. She didn't anticipate something happening. She was ready, so when it did, she knew what to do. You know what made this woman a great woman and a great mother? Others knew she had the answer. When they bring the boy to the boy's in the field with his father's in verse and with his father in verse number 19, and he holds his head and he says, "My head, my head." That's a teenager saying, "There's nothing up there." No, he's saying, "My head, my head." And the father says, "Quick, carry him to his mom." Now, it didn't say rush him to medical help. It said take him to his mom. Mothers know what to do. Typical dad. I'm working in the field. Take him to his mother. He'll be fine. Everything's going. Here we go. But his arms fall. Take him to his mother. You know what to do. I got to take care of this. Guy's working, hacks his thumb, blood spewing out. What does he do? Huh? You get carpenter's band-aids. What's that? Duct tape. You just roll it up on there until he quits bleeding and you just keep on going. But he knew. Hey, the dad knew. Everybody else knew. Take him to his mom. She'll know what to do about it. They knew the mother had the answer. Moms have the answer. You know that? Godly mothers, they have the answer. There's something about that. And I'll tell you something. It was many years ago, obviously, when Napoleon Bonaparte was the emperor of France. And in the midst of great battles and struggles in their nation, they asked him, "Mr. Bonaparte, what is France's greatest need?" And without even hesitating, he said, "Mothers, that is our greatest need." Ladies and gentlemen, honestly, I'm not saying mom can fix everything, but she seems to have the answer for just about everything. Dad seemed to be able to do just about anything, the good ones, but seemed like mom has the answer. Well, question, mom, do you have the answer? Not an answer, the answer. I'm not admonishing, nagging this morning. But when a mom has the answer, mom, would you please tell them what they need to know? Wouldn't it be nice if parents just, nowadays, a lot of parents would just teach their children manners. Just manners. Please, thank you. Speak a language I understand. I'm not talking about foreign language. I'm talking to a kid who speaks the language, but you don't understand what in the world. I've had talked to young people before, and they tell me something. They go, and I go, you're trying to tell me something. I know you're trying to tell me something. I don't have the gift of heavenly interpretation, but I don't know what in the world you're trying to tell me. What? Try that again. One more time. You know, when you're two and you talk like that, that's one thing. When you're 14, that's something else altogether. How about just the answer? Mom has the answer. Seriously. Somewhere, look here, somewhere between the generations of the past and many of the generations of the present, there has been a dropping of the ball. Somebody is not telling people what they need to know. Someone's not giving them godly answers to things about life and choices and decisions and what needs to be done. She's a great woman. She's a great mother, because when something happened, take him to his mother. She'll know what to do. Well, Mom, then the question to you is this morning is this: do you have the right answer? Not just an answer. Do you have the right answer? Do you reach for T. Barry Brazelton? Do you reach for Spock? Do you reach for the remote and listen to what Oprah has to say? Or do you know what the Bible says, Mom, so you can tell them what the Word of God says? That's what people need. They need it. They don't just need to hear it from preachers. They need to hear it from the best preacher they ever had in their life, their mother. I can raise my voice, holler, spit, and spew, and carry on and everything else. There's nothing as penetrating as a mother's answer. Stays with you everywhere you go, hovers over your head everywhere you are. Yes? If you had a good mother, friend, I guarantee you this. There are times in your, I don't care how old you are and how far down in life you go or how far in life you go, that answer from your mom sticks right here in the back of your head. Son, always make sure you wear clean underwear. You never know when you'll be in an accident. Great truths like that. Things that just cling to you. Don't cross your eyes. You want them to get stuck like that? Great truths mothers teach us. There are other things. I should have brought my list with me this morning. Great answers that your mother heard. Close the door where you're born in a barn. Well, don't you know you were there? Great mothers know what to do, and they know the answer that God should be giving people. Great mothers know the Bible. And great mothers give the answer not only by their lips, but by their lives. Can't do it now, friend. You cannot wear out the testimony of a faithful mother. You can live in denial of it. You can turn against it, and you can walk off, but I guarantee you in the back of your mind it's there. And let me tell you something, Mom. You got a wandering prodigal out there today. I guarantee you this, the faithfulness and consistency of your life still works on the back of their hearts and their minds. They can't get away from that. Moms have the answer. Good mothers do. They have the right answer. You know why she was a great mother also? She knew how to go to God for her needs. She takes that boy and lays him on the bed in the prophet's chamber. She goes to the man of God. She's not just going to the preacher for the answer now. She's going to him because he speaks for God. She knows who to get a hold of. Listen now, she knows that you have to get a hold of God about this thing. Kind of ties back into that thing about her preparation of her life to be ready. She knew. When the times come, she knew to go to God about this thing. We must have praying mothers. We must have mothers who know their God, know Him, and know Him well. She goes to God first, not last. She doesn't exhaust all her other avenues and resources. She goes to God first. She has a dead child. She doesn't even run to her husband. She doesn't go to anyone or anybody on this planet first. She takes that boy, lays him on the bed, and heads off to see the man of God, get him plugged in with God about this thing, because she knows what's needed. Doesn't it seem like, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't it seem like in a world that's gone crazy, has lost its sense and its mind, that people don't even know where to go anymore? They don't seem to understand. So we have a catastrophe that hits America. What do? We roll up our shirt sleeves. We do something for our nation. We work at this thing in America. We fix this. We repair that. We do this. We do that. But it doesn't seem like people are chasing out after God about things. It doesn't seem like they're willing to turn and face and say, you know what America needs? America needs God. That's what America needs. America needs the very God we're trying to get removed from every public place, off the planet, taken away from everything on this earth. America needs God to be the God of this country once again. We need to quit singing God Bless America and start begging God to bless America. I like singing it too, by the way. It's a great song. But the truth is, you say, well, that needs to come from the White House, Pastor Johnson. No, it needs to come from Mom. It needs to come from Dad. It needs to come from people who've taught their young people, ladies and young, listen to me, you need to get a hold of God about this thing. And we need some people who get a hold of them. My mother's in heaven. This is my first Mother's Day with my mother in heaven. But my grandmother was the one who raised me for a good portion of my life. No disrespect meant to my mother, but for my grandmother today, I've always felt in my heart she spent more of her life and time invested personally and directly in me than my own mother did. They stepped in, my grandparents stepped in when our family blew apart, and for the solid and formative years of my life, my grandparents were very important to me. On Mother's Day, I think about her. I got saved when I was a 9-year-old boy, and at the age of 12, I walked away from God. Thankfully, He did not walk away from me. At the age of 22, I got right with God. The first person I called when I got right with God was my grandmother. And I told her, I said, Grandma, I got right with God today. And I wanted you to know that. And she said, Michael, I've never stopped praying for you. 10 years, she held on to God for me. Do you understand, dear people, this morning? A great mother knows to get a hold of God about things. They know that. That's not a little pat answer of, well, I should pray about this. That's not this lady. No. She doesn't use the God thing that people seem to have an infatuation with nowadays. You know, they try the God thing, and then they try the psychiatry thing, and then they try the secular thing, and then they try the worldly thing, and then they try the fleshly thing, and oh, I'll throw the God thing in there too. You listen to me. That stuff doesn't work with the Almighty of heaven. She knew. She knew how to get a hold of God for her needs in her life. She didn't exhaust everything and then throw God in the end. She went to Him first. You know why she was a great mother? She was a great mother because she had faith in spite of the circumstances. Now look at your Bible, please. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 23. When she tells her husband says, look, it's not new moon or Sabbath and you're going to the man of God. Should we be doing this? And she said at the end of the verse, it shall be well. Her son is dead. Their son is dead, lying on a bed up in a prophet's chamber. And she says, it shall be well. When you get to verse number 26 there, he sends the man of God, the preacher does, sends the servant and says, ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Is everything okay? And what does she say? No, it's a tragedy. My boy is dead and life's over and I don't know what to do. She says, it is well. He's still dead, but it's well. I lost my boy, but it's well. I have a tragedy, but it's well. Everything will be fine. And our hymn book is the great hymn of It Is Well With My Soul, written by a man named Horatio Spafford. Back at the time when the great fire of Chicago swept through that city and burned the city to the ground, very short amount of time in the late 1800s. Spafford had just moved his family to the city of Chicago and had been there just a short time. He's a successful lawyer, had a flourishing legal practice. He had 4 daughters, a son, and his wife, and they began to prosper and do well. And by the way, Spafford was a very godly man, served faithfully in his church as a soul winner, and was working with the great D.L. Moody in his crusades out of Chicago. One day, their son contracted a fever and died. Not long after that, Spafford had invested some money on some shoreline property there on Lake Michigan in Chicago. And right after he spent their fortune on this to prepare them for the future, the great fire of Chicago came through and burned the city to the ground, and he lost everything. His son had died. The great fire of Chicago had burned the city to the ground and lost all he owned. He put it together with a little bit of finances he could and got his family to New York City, and he was there, and they prepared them to send them over to England to work in the great crusade D.L. Moody was going to have in London. He sent his wife and his 4 daughters ahead of him to London, and on the way over, they ran into another ship, and the ship sank in 12 minutes. His wife survived, his daughters drowned. She got to England and wired back to him with a simple telegram that said, saved alone. And now all of his children are dead. And and everything he owns is gone. He puts together what little he has left and he gets on a ship and he sails for England. Somewhere across the Atlantic, he asked the captain to wake him in the middle of the night when they got close to the place where the ship sank and his family was, the remainder of his children were lost. Middle of the night, the captain came and knocked on his door. He said, Mr. Spafford, I believe this is the spot here. He went to the railing of that ship with a piece of paper, a lawyer, not a hymn writer, and wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. See, we find out where our faith is and what our faith is in times like this. Would you not agree? And this lady, before she sees her son raised from the dead, says, it is well. She was a great mother because she had faith and kept her faith, as it were, in spite of circumstances. I'm sorry for the tragedies of life. I'm sorry for things that come our way. I'm sorry for the unanswered matters. I'm sorry. I apologize to you this morning, but you listen to me. If your faith is where it's supposed to be and upon whom it should be, when these things come, nothing changes all of that. It is still well with our soul if our faith is right. Maybe you come this morning and you found yourself in a place where you've lost your faith. First of all, may I ask you a question? Do you have salvation? Do you have biblical salvation? Faith in something, that won't work. Faith in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, is where it all starts. Do you know Christ as your Savior? You can muster up. Most people think faith is just convincing yourself to believe something. No, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That comes from the Word of God, friend, and it comes from knowing the Son of God and salvation. Do you know Christ as your Savior, and are you sure of that? Have you simply placed your faith in the work Jesus did at the cross, that work of salvation, dying for us to pay for our sins, rising again 3 days later to give you eternal life? Did you place your faith in Christ for your salvation and ask Him to save you? Then you found the source of faith and the right origin of your faith. Now then, as time goes on, that book, ladies and gentlemen, will help you to keep it on the target of the Lord God of heaven. And you won't wander off of this thing. It'll always bring you back to where you need to be. It's not that the Bible failed us. We failed the Word of God. It's not that God failed us, we failed Him in our lives. Say, that's not fair, Pastor Johnson. You don't understand the tragedy. This woman has a son, the only son, and he's dead. And they ask her, how is it? And she says, it is well. It is well. Everything's going to be fine. It is well. Her faith has not wavered. See, we think great mothers are people who are known because of they're on the front page of Good Housekeeping. When they live in a house that everyone else cleans for them. I don't understand that. Put a mom on there who cleans her own house. Let her be on the cover of Good Housekeeping. That makes sense to me. Because the object of this lady's faith is not changed. No. Come on. It's not the applause of men. It's not that you get the woman of the year from a bunch of women who've forsaken their families and their homes and the will of God. That's not big stuff. That's little league. That's minor stuff. Listen to me. There's women in this room this morning. You are a great woman in the sight of God. Because you do what you're supposed to do by God's word for God's people. You take care of your own. And you serve your God. Do you understand that in heaven, the Bible says that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You know, Jesus repeated that statement more about judgment parables than anything else. And you know what it means? At judgment time, here's all these people shoving their way up to the front going, I did all this stuff. Watch this. Mr. Trump's up there with his comb over if he goes to heaven. I don't know. And he gets up there and his hair blows sideways when everyone goes, oh, look at the glare. And then all these people pushing themselves toward the front and Jesus says, okay, wait a minute. Before we start this, let's straighten this line out. You braggadocious knuckleheads in the front. This is all in the Greek. You back up. Go get in the back of the line. little mom, come up here. That little mother right there. Dear lady, you come stand right here. Hey, grandma, you come on over here. You stand up here in the front now. Now that's where it matters. She had her faith in the right place. She kept it there. Life will sometimes shake the anchor in our lives, but if the anchor is holding where it should, everything will be fine. She was a great mother, lastly, because she was honest about her condition. When she's asked, how is it with you? Notice the question in verse 26. Is it well with thee? She said, it is well. Everything's okay. And your husband? No, he's fine. And your son? It's well with him too. She was honest about her condition. Mom, so is it well with you today? Is everything all right in your heart and life this morning? Is there peace because you're what God wants you to be? Well, there's just so much pulling on women today, Pastor Johnson. There's this and there's that. And you only get pulled on because you let people grab a hold of you. So is it well with you today? Other than the mothers in the room this morning, how about you this morning? Is it well with you today? Is there peace right here now? Is it right? You pillow your head tonight. Are you going to pillow your head and say, there's still so much in my life that's messed up? I'm not talking about troubles and trials now. I'm just talking about the fact there are things in our lives that are not right, and we know it, and we're not doing anything about it. I figured out a long time ago, quit trying to fix your life. You get right with God, He'll fix it. He'll put the pieces of things back together. He won't make your troubles go away, and He won't do anything without your hand and part in it. But friend, if you do your part, He'll do His. Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. She was a great woman because she was honest about her condition. She's not bragging, she's just stating, even with this tragedy in my life, everything's still okay. Now look here, if you could face a loved one who's died and say, it is still well, things are good. And then God steps in and does what she could not have imagined. He raises that son and gives her back to him. Gives him back to her. Don't you see? If you'll do what you're supposed to do, God will do what you cannot do. We do our part. God does His part. And even in the midst of the darkest hour of your life, when you can say, it is well, that's an evidence of a faith that's real and that's genuine. It starts with salvation and knowing Christ as your Savior. It continues with submission under the Word of God to the will of God. And then it is well, friend. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.